Hey everyone, this is Heather, and you're listening to Simply Healed with Heather Leonard. Today's episode is called, I'm Not Tarnished, I'm Trained. This is by far the most requested topic for this podcast that I've ever had, and I have put it off, and it's been put off long enough, so today I'm tackling it. This is from any grieving widow to their next love, and I'm finding a way today to try to make this relevant to everybody. So don't go anywhere if you're not a grieving widow. Don't worry, this episode is still for you. I can't wait to go on with this topic, guys. Here we go. So let me just start with the widow perspective on this. I find it very interesting that there's a scarlet letter attached to widows and widowers for their next person who sweeps in and just feels like they're competing with a ghost. That's not a thing. Or at least it shouldn't if your person is in a healed place. And always we're grieving. You know what I'm saying? Like that is just not a, there's no finish line to that event. I wish I could say there was. So if you're waiting for them to be fully healed before wanting to step into a relationship with them, I don't know that that ever really happens. It's like a roller coaster. There's good days, there's bad days. But here's the beautiful thing. If you are lucky enough to ever date or marry a widow, widower, you will be blessed with somebody who is very well trained in how to have a beautiful relationship. And I say this so confidently because I have a grieving widows group and widows and widowers, and there are thousands in there. And I'm just thinking to myself, probably a handful, if that, who lost their person when they didn't feel like things were sort of at their best. You know, they were in a really good place in their relationship when their person passed. Like a handful of all those thousands that didn't feel like things were good, or they find things out maybe after their person passed. But for the most part, these are people who figured out how to make a relationship last a really long time. So it's almost like you're getting the benefit of all the hard work that their deceased spouse, you know, went through with them to get them to a place where they know how to do this marriage thing, this relationship thing really well. You know, they've been there, done that, and found the ways to make it succeed. You know, we're not talking about people who had been divorced from their person or had separated or, you know, were in turmoil. We're talking about people who lost their significant other and were still in a happy marriage at the time the person was taken from them. So I know and I fully understand the fear base around that in terms of thinking these are big shoes to fill, or this is, you know, I'm like, I'm stepping into this role where now I somehow have to add up to whatever their past person was. But I can assure you that's most often, at least in the experience I've had with all of these amazing widows and widowers, that it's not a thing. They're not carrying this expectation of the next to be anything at all like the first or previous. And honestly, I hear more often than not, people are looking for someone very different for that reason. So there's no comparison. There's no, you know, who did it best? It's ridiculous, really. But I fully understand where it comes from, because it feels like, you know, if it was a ex or a, you know, divorce situation, then, you know, things went wrong. You know, there was a reason that they parted. And so you would hope at least that there was some closure there around it. There was some decision on their part to walk away. And in this case, it's a little unique because you've got somebody who maybe they wouldn't have, you know, maybe this would have been something that lasted a lifetime. And so I can understand where that might feel a little overwhelming, especially when you start, you know, then looking in the mirror and like, you know, where do I fall on this? So I want to say, like, I know I promised at the beginning, I'm not going to just speak to widows and widowers. It's come to me this week, and that's why I finally thought, okay, now I can connect how I can speak to all my listeners, not just the grieving community, but to everybody with this topic. Because I have a friend going through online dating. And this is just, for me, it's been a wild ride watching. Actually, I have a couple friends doing it right now. the cast of characters that have been coming up and going, you know, past their, you know, swiping right, left. I don't even know what way they're swiping. As a matter of fact, my best friend handed me her phone instead, start swiping, just have fun with it on my birthday. She just was like, here, like, you know me, pick for me. I was like flipping both ways. I didn't even know which way was yes or no. It was like, I was trying to swipe one way, it was going the other way. It was hilarious. I was like, this is a trip. I don't know. This is absolutely wild. But the reason I bring this up is because when you're thinking about like a past relationship, so in both of these situations, they've had past people who, I don't want to say they're measuring all of these people up to, but it's almost like there's this standard that's been set by the best past relationship they've ever had. And when you watch it play out, you think to yourself, well, there's a reason that didn't work. You know, that's what keeps coming into my mind is like, I'm sure a lot of the times that it's not good enough and it's not somebody you're willing to like even take a chance on. It's because you're thinking like, well, I've had better than this, or I've been in a better situation than this. I'm looking to improve or upgrade, right? Is what I'm watching play out. But what's interesting to me about that is it might have taken 4, 5, 6, 7, 20 years to get to that place. And this is very similar to the grieving community, where they are really sometimes expecting what took 20 years to build, what took 7 years to build, and you're expecting that right out the gates with a new partner. And you have to think back and really remember at the starting gate of whatever great relationship you might have had in your own past and think, what did that start out like? Because the best relationship of my life to date started out as friends. I mean, it actually started out with zero attraction on my part. I was never even thinking of this person as a life partner. And it was like a year and a half in before that even ever changed. So it's really funny though that, you know, that you fast forward and then after somebody has lost someone, or in this case with my friends, you know, and now they're looking for a new relationship, how their standard is so high and they're almost combining components of all the past people. Like, I want them to be as attractive as this person, as thoughtful as this person, as good of a communicator as this person, as spontaneous as this person, as business savvy as this person. It's like, what are you creating? Is this a human or is this a robot? I don't understand, but I get it because they can see parts in all of these past things. Like, if I could just have the perfect person that had all those things in one. And that could exist, sure. That might not be an unreasonable expectation, but to expect it out of the gate, to be able to see all those things in a person right at the starting line. I think about like communication is a great example of this. Most people get in a groove with communication and it's like, it takes them a minute to figure out the other person's style. So some people, I'll say friend A likes a consistent texting all day long. Friend B would like to hear from you a couple times a week. Now, this couldn't be any different. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is somebody who's literally like every hour or so, just send me an emoji. Let me know you're thinking of me. And then the other one who's like, I'm working. What are you doing? And I mean, it could be as simple as like, you know, their astrological sign or whatever, and what just appeals to that, you know, type of person. I don't know. But my guess is that at the beginning of any new relationship, no one is going to know what you want or need. And if you don't vocalize it, don't expect it or get bummed out when the person doesn't give you what you need. It might be as simple as saying, hey, I'd love to hear from you, you know, throughout your day, even if it is just an emoji, even if it is just a hey, then I know I crossed your mind. And that's amazing to me. And then there might be someone else who's like, you know what, when I'm in work mode, I just need to be all in and I can't even think about it until I like punch out for the day. And then at that point, I want to hear from you. You know what I mean? And if you're that poor person on the other end and has no idea, and let's say you just stepped out of a relationship with a person like person A, you know, and now you're in a relationship with person B, you're still following person A's protocol, so to speak. Like, you're used to that. You know, you think I'm giving this person person exactly what they want, but no, you're actually giving what your last person wanted. You might not have adjusted yet to this new person or thought to ask what they like. So, you know, sometimes it's just as simple as having to lay it out there, but you cannot expect that right off the bat, day one. I feel like you're going to be doing a lot of swipe lefts. Sorry, you guys are gonna have to help me out on this one. You know, swiping them away. You're gonna be Xing out a lot of people not matching because you're gonna be looking at them and saying, well, you know, they're too needy, they're too this. And they could be a very adaptable person who could very easily change that up for you if you gave them the opportunity. That's all I'm saying. It's like if you're very quick to sort of slam the door and say, nope, I've been with someone like that before and it doesn't work for me, just try giving a little communication a chance, I would say. But to the widows and widowers out there, I want to talk to you for a quick moment because I can say that you also have to be very sensitive to the fact that any new partner is going to have a little bit of their own feelings around this, and they're valid. I mean, no matter what they are, it's what they feel. Some people are just going to roll, like totally be all good with it. I've experienced like the gamut, I feel like, at this point, and I don't know what's the easiest, honestly. I know the hardest on me was the person that stated like the shoes are big, like the shoes are too big to fill kind of thing. Because that feeling, it's hard as the widow or widower to make that any easier on them. The best I can do is try to help you guys out by just expressing this as sort of a umbrella feeling and vibe from our community that, you know, don't feel that way. Just don't ever feel like we're trying to measure you up to anything. If anything, it's more these little glimmers and these feelings that you might bring back out in us that is something that we've had before that feels so good and right. And it's not ever a comparison, but it's almost like you have this beautiful ability and gift to bring that spark back to life again inside of a person who might have had that sort of light dulled out, right? Like after losing your person, there is a part of you that is sort of like going through the motions. And when those little sparks happen and those things start to like turn back on, I can say it might even be the best relationship you've ever had because that person's so excited and ready for it because they've felt it when it is amazing. They know what it's like to be in love and to have it work and be reciprocated. They've had a healthy partnership most likely, and they're just excited to get back there again. Now, one word of caution. Most widows and widowers move fast. And the best way I explain this to people is that our hearts are addicted to love. It's what we lost and had ripped from us. So there's always this feeling of, you know, loss around something that meant the most to us. You know, it was torn from us. We didn't get to choose that. It was just taken away. And so as soon as you can see it again and feel it close or in your energy field, it's really hard not to want to just run towards it full force. And in our minds, we've had a lot of time to mull it over already. We've had endless nights to think it through of, could I do it again? What would that person have to be like? How would I enter into it? Like all that stuff has already been played out in our minds so many times because it's heavy, you know, it's big. So you're already trying to work it out. So for us, it's almost like then once you see it, you already know. You already know what the characteristics would be. You already know what works for you and what doesn't. You've already been through the, you know, and you're just ready to have it back. So it's, there's this element of, it feels like, whoa, like, you know, maybe at times I think widows and widowers need to learn to pace themselves better. I know that having the awareness helps big time, but it really does come down to loving love, you know, and missing that. And yes, some grief around it, still being a little angry, a little bit sad, all of these things about the fact that it was just torn from you, and then being eager and excited to get it back. So, you know, sometimes it just makes people, I think, act a little out of character, kind of like move quicker than maybe the average person, or seem like they're tunnel vision on it. I have some people that this is like their day in and day out in the group. They talk about it nonstop. They're on all the apps. They're hitting all the bars. They're like whatever they can do to try to get it back. It's almost like they're addicted to it. Like they don't have, well, a lot of them don't have anything else, to be quite honest. A lot of them have just recently retired. That is like a very common theme with a lot of widows and widowers. Just barely hitting that point in life where like, all right, this is what we've been waiting for, saving for, ready to go out and explore the world, ready to just go have some fun. I've worked my butt off my whole life and now it is here and now my person's gone. So one, they have a lot of time on their hands, but they also want to go and start these adventures and do these things, but with somebody that they care about, not by themselves, which is a little scary for a lot of these people who've been in relationships for a long time. Doing things as a family or a pair is a lot less nerve-wracking and it's a lot less stress because you've got one person maybe books the tickets, somebody else grabs the Uber, someone else, you know what I mean? It's like divide and conquer. And when you're the only one doing it all, it's a little tiring, no doubt. But especially if you had just set up your whole life to be just about to come to fruition, just about for things to get really good and vibrant and exciting. And it's like, what on earth? Now I just, you know, I just crossed that line. I just hit that age or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden I'm just staring here with what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And so for anybody who is looking to date or has dated a widow or widower, I will say that that is a beautiful thing for you. I mean, again, you're looking at somebody who has, like, this is potentially some of the best years of their life. They're like fully excited to go, you know, enjoy what they've earned their entire living. And I can't say anything across the board because everyone is so different. But there are so many amazing, amazing souls in my group who just, they cheer each other on. It's so beautiful to watch. A lot of them have connected with each other for this very reason. I'll tell you, it's because trying to date somebody who's been divorced or, you know, a lot of the times there's some distrust. They've been burned within their relationship or cheated on or whatever it is, where they almost approach relationships in a different kind of way, where they're a little more guarded, almost like expecting things to go wrong or for somebody to not be trustworthy and all these things where it's kind of more baggage in a sense. And honestly, widows with other widows or widowers, it works a lot of the time because, you know, you can understand what they need, when they might need space, when they might need support. You've already walked the walk yourself, so maybe that's why a lot of the times those matchups happen. And maybe, you know, some of those dating sites that are specific to widows and widowers, but I always caution my members. It freaks me out and it really irritates me because the grieving community should never be preyed upon. But for whatever reason, they always find themselves to be such a big target. I gotta think in large part, people just assume that, I don't know, in the state of mind they're at, and maybe that they'd be more gullible or what, I don't know. It's just, it's really sad to see. So I will say, be careful, because sometimes on those sites, people who are not truly widows and widowers get through the cracks, and you know, it's kind of unfortunate, but I don't know. I mean, I think some sites probably allow both. It's like, this is a site for widows and widowers, but also, you know, anybody that would be willing to date one, or I don't know how any of it works. I've never actually looked into it. But just so everyone knows also, if I'm saying widows and widowers, I didn't even know this when I became one, but the difference is just a man versus a woman. Like, I never knew there was a different terminology when I first started this. Started a widow group thinking whether I was speaking of a man who lost his wife or a woman who lost her husband, it was the same thing, and it's not. So that's why I keep saying both, because this isn't really gender specific. It's just sort of speaking to people in that position. So anyway, I want to take a quick break. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere, guys. Just a quick reminder to my podcast listeners that I offer hypnosis sessions in the way of relationships, yes, but also anything that you want to do for self-improvement, boosting up your self-confidence, whether it's stage presence that you want to be able to get a little more calm and at peace with, Whether it is not procrastinating, getting those bills done on time, whatever it is, there is most likely a session available for you, or we can come up with something custom. So just feel free to reach out. I'll drop my email in today's podcast description. And I will also drop the link to my website so you can see all of the sessions that I have. All right, guys, back to the show. So just a real quick thought. If somebody expected you to fill the shoes of any of their past relationships, how would that feel? Because I think sometimes empathy takes us so much further than any other experience. Like, if you could actually put yourself in the other person's shoes, like really try to just drop into that feeling for a second. If someone ever truly had these expectations based on a past relationship, how gross that kind of feels, you know? Because you don't want to be compared to anybody. You're yourself. Like, it should be something where they're not coming at it with any kind of expectation, any type of, you know, preconceived idea of how a husband or wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever should be. It should just be getting to know each other and loving the parts of them. It's not at all about looking for something that's similar to something you already had. And now in most cases, it is through that relationship that you figure out where you're not compatible, and that's why they separate. And when there's death, you don't have that thing necessarily. But remember this, no relationship's perfect. That relationship also had its flaws, you know? That couple also had their things they just put up with or dealt with, or, you know, I hear it all the time of every Sunday, you know, football's on the TV, or we gotta listen to golf all day, or he's going to the car shows, or, oh, she's out spending my money and shopping all day and hanging out with her girlfriends, and I hear this stuff a lot. So, you know, nothing's perfect. And so to imagine that they have their deceased loved one on a pedestal is not necessarily true. I am very aware of my late husband's flaws. Do I talk about them? Do I focus on them? Not usually. Why is that? Because when someone dies, why are we going to talk about all the worst parts of them? We try to remember the contributions that they had in our life, highlight those, celebrate their life. You know, you don't sit around and focus on all the things that drove you crazy. But if we're being really honest, and you're stepping into a relationship with this person, so if we're really being honest, you don't have these enormous shoes to fill. That person had a whole bunch of flaws too, just like you likely will. It's all about how you guys work together to make a relationship work. And so it's not like, you know, you really are competing with this perfect ghost who will never again screw up. If you really sit down and talk to your person, you're going to find out, yeah, you know, I'll own everything that my husband did that drove me crazy. If I, you know, if we're sitting down and having a conversation about it, if you really want to know what things, you know, weren't compatible or whatever, like that, you could come up with stuff if that's going to help the person to understand this wasn't a perfect situation either. You know, we had a lot of great things going on. The main great things are we figured out how to communicate and work with each other through these. We figured out how to still maintain and keep a relationship going and not, you know, have to go our separate ways or scream and yell all the time or fight. And through all of these difficulties, we got to this good place. So because of that, you're getting the better version of me. You're getting, you know, if you got the 20-something-year-old version of me, you would have a lot of these mistakes that I hadn't learned yet. And I learned a lot through all of those experiences. And I'm a way better person, a way better partner now. So in a sense, like, the new person should be thanking the past person. They really did train your new person, and they're yours now. They're not still with that ghost, you know? And so that feeling of having to compete with something that you can't compete with because, you know, they're not going to mess up anymore, it's not really there. It really isn't. And if you do find a widow or widower who is constantly comparing you to their past love, maybe they're not in a healed enough place to enter into a new relationship. But you could always try counseling. I mean, I'm sure they could work with you to try to, like, you know, have that third party sitting there to sort of say, hey, you know, have you ever thought about how he feels or she feels, you know, like bring in that sort of outside so you're not always having to point it out, because it is tough when you feel judgment around your grief. That's a tough one. So I think sometimes bringing in that extra person can be so helpful. it doesn't bother me, but I mean, we all have different personalities, and I know some people will get very offended if you speak about, you know, the way they're grieving. Oh, it's a trigger. They just kind of go crazy. So it's, there are a spectrum of different types of widowers out there. We all do it different. And the triggers are different. Nothing really triggers me at this point. I find it amazing when people are willing to listen. And I also am not offended when people don't want to hear about it. Like, and none of that bothers me. I like to just figure out what other people like, you know. For my kids' sake, I have an obligation to keep his memory alive. So that's something no matter what a future partner will have to deal with for me. Because I have to make sure when my husband's birthday rolls around, one of the things that we do is we will eat all of his favorite meals for the whole week still. It's something we do for every family member on their birthday. But specifically, you know, when it's his birthday week, we still do it. So that way we don't forget what were his favorite foods. And, you know, make the cake on the day. And I still have photos around and I get rid of them little by little and I give a lot of them to my kids. But I can't just rip it down and one day it's gone, you know? That's not even fair. And so I'd have to have somebody who's secure enough in their own stuff to be able to see that and not think that it's me hanging onto a memory. It's not about that at all. It's just me trying to make sure that, you know, for my kids, they understand that they had the best dad ever and he's not here anymore, but it wasn't his choice. And he is still very much around them in energy and in their genetics because they are mirrors of him, you know, and for them to be able to see certain foods that he ate and go, oh, he loved that too. That's one of my favorite things. That's special to them. His closet still has some of his clothes in it. Why haven't I gotten rid of it all? I'm not like hanging on to it for me to like sleep with at night and like, you know, I'm not. It's not even that for me. It is because those boys eventually are going to want to have some of his stuff. And so it's not up to me to just throw it away, you know? There are a lot of different things going on. But listen, I have a friend who just recently, and maybe 2.5 years after the loss of her husband, just barely stopped sleeping with a shirt of his. So it is different for everybody. And so if it does bother you that they still have this attachment to a material thing or photographs or whatever it is, you have to communicate it. And if it's something they can't move past or understand where you're coming from or where, you know, where your worry is coming from, then at that point, you might have to make a decision that whether it's right for you or not. I hope this topic is hitting for somebody out there because I've heard it so many times and I personally witness it a lot just running this group. And it always breaks my heart to hear people say, oh, he just couldn't understand. She just never got there. You know, always telling me how to grieve, always, you know, and there's like these common things, like, how do I get past this? How do I move forward with someone? And I mean, part of me sometimes does want to shake my widows and widowers out there. So if you're listening and you do fall in that category, you just cannot expect too much out of that partner. You know, I mean, we get so frustrated when people aren't doing things the way we want them to. That's a control thing. We're feeling controlling because our lives often feel out of control. Things happen to us that were not within our control. So bottom line is you don't like it when things feel, you know, uncertain. And so a new partner in your life will very much bring a lot of uncertainty again. And like pointing the finger and blaming it all on them isn't fair either. They're in a really dicey position. If you really do role reverse, like I said, have the empathy here and imagine trying to date somebody who just lost what they're calling the love of their life or their soulmate. Could you imagine? I don't know. That it's like hard enough to deal with the ex, the, you know, all of those layers of divorces and everything else. But a deceased loved one, it's just, that's a heavy thing. Anybody who's even willing to go out on a date with you should be commended because it is a big thing. I mean, and I don't know. I do think that a lot of the times I hear a lot of these widows and widowers who just have such high expectations, like, well, they should have known to treat me better because I'm a widow. Like, you know, like they should never have screwed me over like that. They knew how hard this was for me. it was hard for them too. Listen, I get it. I know it. I know how fragile my heart is. And if I'm trusting it in somebody's hand again, do I expect them to treat me with kid gloves? No. But I do expect a little extra respect around not just sort of playing with me. Not, you know, not just leading me on or like, yes, I get that. But still, you're still just a human in a human relationship with another human. Like, it's still, it doesn't get to give you a free pass to, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's still, you want to be treated the same, and then you want, you're saying you want to be treated different. So be very careful with that. You know, on the one hand, don't put a scarlet letter on me. Treat me just like anyone else. And some widows and widowers won't even tell the person they're dating that they are a widow or widower until far into a relationship for this reason. And I don't think that's fair either. But I can understand it, but I don't think that it's fair. But, you know, so I've heard that too, where like it, they don't want to even say it. They just want to sort of hide it and mask that. So it's not even a factor in things, and then later on sort of mention it or bring it up if things get to a certain point of trust, I guess. But I, all I'm trying to say is, don't on the one hand be like, well, I don't want to be treated any different than anybody else. Like, take the scarlet letter off. Don't, I'm not even going to tell you I'm a widow. And then on the other hand, be like, I, can you believe he treated me this way? I'm a widow. I'm like, wait, what? That just doesn't add up. I'm trying to follow you here, but first you were, you know, sort of hell-bent on being treated just like everybody else, and now you're offended that they didn't treat you so more carefully and delicately. So we just have to get, you know, try to walk the walk in someone else's shoes. I think that's the easiest way to deal with this. And for those of you on the dating sites, oh boy, just remember that what you see in a photo, it does not tell a whole story. I tend to find myself to be extra picky with photos. I would never be able to do dating, online dating, because I would just be like, nope. I'm not saying I am superficial and picky. It is not that. My thing is, all I care about, or at least, I mean, it is like 95% of what I care about is someone's energy. You know, there's just some people who are just so good to be around, and you just want to spend all your time with them. And you can't tell that from a photograph. And usually from a photograph or what they're putting out there on these sites, I'm just like, that doesn't sound good. That sounds miserable. But if I met someone in person and their energy is right, that is just different. And so there's something to be said for like giving someone a chance, maybe, if you're going to stick to these dating sites. Or in addition to doing those sites, get out there and meet actual people. Because I think when you meet people in person, it's such a different experience. My friend just sent me was it Instagram or TikTok? I don't know. She sent me some reel. And it was this guy, I was like, the tears were rolling. Like, it was so funny. What was it about? It was something completely inappropriate. I'm sure it crosses the explicit line, so I can't even talk about it anyway. But it was hilarious. I know exactly what it was. It was about having a dog or pet in the bedroom. And it was a man speaking to like women out there and talking about how they might need to be put in like a cage or a, like temporarily, like just so they're not sitting there at the side of the bed staring at you. It was a basic thing, but he made it so funny that I couldn't stop laughing. I could barely catch my breath. And like all, there was three of us in this little conversation together, and we just rolled laughing. Now this guy, on paper, I would never in a million years think this is any kind of catch for either of my friends who are like actively looking on these sites. But as soon as he spoke and was so funny and his energy was just like perfect, I was like, this is a perfect guy for the both of you. Like, where is he? And like, what is it? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you cannot on a piece of paper make a determination and have it be right. There's just no way. So yeah, you might get a feel texting back and forth for a while with the way all these sites work. You might start to get an idea of how someone is, but I feel like it's a recipe for disaster, really. Like, I want to say keep your radius small at least so that these are people you can meet in person pretty soon off, because the last thing you want to do is start falling for somebody thinking they're one way, and then you meet them in person and that energy is just off, or vice versa. You know, you sort of don't even bother and they actually would have been a great match. So there's a lot that can go wrong there. And I know it's just the way now. It's, for a lot of people, the only way to meet people your age, or at least to expand the pool of possibilities. I mean, the dating world's come a long ways just because of that. Now you can, if your, you know, circle is just not big enough, you can expand out. I mean, I grew up in a tiny town, so I get it. There's a lot of people who, you know, have a very specific list of what they're looking for, and they're not going to find it in their hometown. So, you know, they're using this method to try to have a larger, you know, ocean. So I understand it. It's just taking so much out of the experience that is so important to getting to know if somebody could be your person. And if you're anything like me, you know what I'm saying about this energy, the humor, the just, you know, somebody could have a beautiful face and you could be, they could have everything you're attracted to on paper. And then you meet them and you're like, hello? Like, is anyone in there? Are you okay? Are we connecting here? Like, just immediately you think to yourself, I couldn't have had this more wrong. And how much of your time are you willing to give to that before you're going to figure that out is what I would say. So, you know, I would say if you're on these sites where your whole area is across the country, but there's no chance, you already know you're not moving. You know what I mean? The other thing that I kept hearing coming up was about kids and like, do you want kids? Do you not want any more kids? Or somebody who's like hard and firm on, you know, I don't ever want dogs, or I'm a smoker. Anything that for you is already a deal breaker. Why are you already giving in on what? Like right out the gate, if they say, I am a smoker, and you're like, I will never date a smoker, why are you swiping? Just because what? They have a pretty face? Like, you're already compromising part of yourself before you've even met them. And then you could fall for them. Like, they could be a great person. And then what? You know? Do you really want, like, is it a deal breaker? I guess that's what you got to get right with. Really know what your things are that you're willing to compromise on. If you, so the funny part is, I think in this particular case, she didn't want kids and he did want kids. And for him, he still like matched with her or swiped. I don't know how this works. Matched. He picked her. She picked him, even though they both saw that didn't line up. How could that happen? Well, it happened because I think on some level, both of them are like, you know what? I value love above this. So sometimes that's true, and that'll happen where, like, if you are hard and firm on something, but then you're like, oh, but I really, if you're thinking, I really believe if you know, we fell in love or whatever, that I could sway them or that they will come to my side of this, I don't do that. But if you're thinking to yourself, like, if I met the perfect person, even though I want kids, if they didn't want them, I would be all in to find my perfect match first and willing to not have children. That's different. But I think you need to be right with that first, because I feel like what happened here was they're still both trying to figure out if that's the person who's worth compromising what they want for. And that's a tough position to be in, because it's like a scale, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm really into this person, I'll give up on that dream for them. But if I'm not really so sure, then I don't know, I gotta think about it. Like, this, it's a crazy position to put yourself in. And there's so many people out there. So I just caution you to make sure you're firm and know what you want and need. And keep open-minded. Just know that, you know, we all have a past, whether it's a widow or a widower, whether somebody's been divorced, engaged, if they've been dating the same person for a decade, whatever it is, baby mama drama, all the stuff. If you are excited about that person, all that stuff, the history stuff, it comes with them. And there's nobody that doesn't have that, any of that. Like, is a clean slate? I would love to see that person. We all have our stuff. And it's just a matter of what can you get right with? What can you sleep at night and not worry? And, you know, if it's going to keep you up at night and you're going to be all freaked out because, you know, they still have this other person in their life, or they still, you know, share whatever together. I don't know. It can get quite messy. So just knowing your own self, I guess, to begin with, and knowing your deal breakers, knowing all that stuff, is really important. And I think it comes down to just knowing yourself And you can't expect to change another person. You just have to be open to loving them as they are. And some people will be super healed widows and widowers, and some will be very much still attached and broken. Some will be very adjusted divorcees, and others will be angry, bitter, and distrusting. It doesn't mean all are. No. You know what I'm saying? Never. There's always a spectrum. And to try to just group in a whole group of like all widows are this way, all divorcees are this way, is crazy. Don't just rule out an entire population of people and say, well, I can't. I mean, talk about stereotyping, right? You never know what you're going to get. And the only way you're going to know is to just be really open, good communicators, all that stuff. But I hope this helped a little bit. I know for me, I read something on Facebook years ago now that was so beautifully written about to my next or something like that. To my wife's next partner is what it was. And it was written as though it was like the deceased man's letter to his wife's new love. It was beautiful. I just got goosebumps. Yeah, it really was like that though. It was so powerful because he was basically saying, don't feel like you have to measure up. You know, she's not comparing you to me. I'm a ghost. I'm not there anymore. Like you're lucky enough to get this woman who is adjusted and strong and has like dealt with the worst and risen above and come out shinier for it. Like, feel blessed that you get to kiss and cuddle up with this woman every night. Like, I would give anything to be in your shoes, but I'm not. She's yours now. She's not mine anymore. Like, it was a beautiful, oh my gosh, I just got the chills again. It was so beautiful. And I feel like everybody should have, you know, that moment or at least that conversation to really explain, hey, here's where I'm at. Like, I have been through it, but I'm a better person because of it. And I'm not still living in the past. I know whatever is in my future can be just as good or even better. Like, I'm open to it. Let's see where this goes. So that's my two cents today, guys. I don't know. I hope it hit well. This is at a totally different time of day for me. So yeah, I'm just feeling a totally different vibe on today's show. So hopefully this hit of all the nights to decide to tackle this huge topic that I get asked on all the time. I don't know why I took it on tonight, but hopefully this hits for somebody. And I know I have to forward this podcast on to about 1 million people who have asked for it throughout the years from me. So I will do my best. But until next week, guys, I hope you all keep tuning in. I'm seeing people in Germany. I'm seeing you in Delaware. I'm seeing you in Iowa, Idaho, Texas. It is wild. I'm so grateful to every single listener. I don't even have words. England, Azerbaijan. That one cracks me up every time I see it. I'm like, I don't know who you are, but I love you. Just keep listening. I love it. Tell your friends, you know, spread the word. And so I can keep doing this thing. I love talking to you guys. Reach out. Let me know. I'll drop my email as always in today's podcast description. So if you have topics that you want me to cover, just let me know. All right, guys. Thanks again. I'll see you next week.